Welcome to the healing power of your dreams here on UK Health Radio. I'm your host, dream expert Teresa Chung, and each week, along with recurring dream guest hosts Margarita Mitchell Pollock and Kelly Sullivan Walden, plus a special guest or two, we will dive deep into the out of this world ways your intuition by day and your dreams by night can guide, heal, and inspire you from the inside out. Expect insights, surprises, and the kind of healing wisdom that only your dreams can reveal. So join us live each week and let's discover the unexpected together. Why do I keep urging you all to recall your dreams on waking? Because your dreams give you an honest snapshot, in symbolic language, of course, of your unconscious mindset. And your unconscious mindset is what you tend to attract into your waking life. There is no denial, no repression, no pretense in your dream world. Dreams don't lie, and that is their power. If what you feel or sense in your dreams makes you uncomfortable, that discomfort is a gift. It is your opportunity in waking life to make different choices about your mindset, words, and actions and course correct. In our waking lives, we often avoid the honest truth. We run from it. We distract ourselves, but in dreams, there is nowhere to hide. And perhaps that is why this moment in history feels so intense. 2026 is shaping up to be a year of exposure, of corruption revealed on the world stage, of long-buried truths surfacing, of people power demanding authenticity and false gurus being exposed. When we look at what is unfolding globally, the revelations, the scandals, the shaking of institutions, it mirrors the uncompromising honesty of our dream world. So tonight, we explore truth, inner truth, collective truth, and the courage it takes to face both. And that's why I am absolutely thrilled to introduce this week's special guest. Kelechi Okafor is a British-Nigerian multidisciplinary artist, writer, presenter, actor, and fearless political commentator. She is the creator and host of the acclaimed podcast Say Your Mind, where she explores self-reclamation through sharp, uncompromising critiques of society and culture. Kelechi is the author of books for children, young adults, and adults, often examining themes of identity, power, surveillance, and systemic injustice. She is widely respected for her advocacy, particularly on issues affecting Black women, and for challenging performative activism in favour of real accountability and material change. In 2025, she released her speculative novel, Awakened, and her upcoming young adult novel, Are You Still Watching?, will be published in September 2026. Can't wait for that. Through her creative and political work, Kelechi continues to challenge dominant narratives, amplify marginalized voices, and create transformative spaces for truth-telling. Kelechi, welcome.
Hello. Thank you for having me, Teresa.
It is our honor. It really is. You are known for your unflinching honesty about power, whether that's the royal family or politicians, and we hopefully will get there shortly. But first, I'd love your thoughts, your honest, unedited thoughts on the spiritual world today. For years, we've seen male gurus elevated almost instantly, often only for troubling histories, personal histories to surface later, with figures like Deepak Chopra, for example, now appearing in the Epstein files. It raises serious questions about how quickly charismatic, confident men are platformed and then protected. There seems to be a pattern. Men who know the theory of spirituality or inner work, but perhaps haven't fully embodied it, still stepping onto the pulpit, often supported behind the scenes by long-suffering partners, while society fast-tracks them into authority. Meanwhile, many women I know who teach won't teach what they know unless they've deeply lived and embodied the work. Yet we're still asked to defer to male voices. So what's going on here, Kelechi? Why does the spiritual movement still elevate males, narcissists often, so readily? And what can women within it actually do to change that dynamic?
I honestly think it's a result of patriarchy in the sense that every sort of organized religious form that we are interacting with, due to the depravity of colonialism, if we want to root it there, has demanded that we center maleness at the core of everything. That it's it's a male sky god, a sky daddy, and it's men that know how things work. Women can cook endlessly. We were told historically and presently that a woman's place is in the kitchen, but when we look at the people who are actually making money from cooking in terms of chefs, it's predominantly men. So once the thing becomes something that can be lucrative, then men go to the fore because that's what patriarchy would want, because it inextricably links men and power with money. So men go forward, and we are taught through so many different channels to doubt ourselves as women, to second guess. When we are self-assured, then we're full of ourselves. When we are assertive, then we are bossy. When we are unaccepting of certain dynamics that don't serve us, then we are bitter or we're angry. So all of these words that are used when we're being talked about is in order to push us back into a box, back into the shadows, and out of power. But we are now seeing more people talking about this energy of the rise of the matriarchy. But we can't think solely of it as just being, oh, we replace men with women, because we have also been deeply infected by patriarchal ideology. And so therefore it's not just enough to say, oh, now let women take charge, but what are women doing the unlearning? And so many of us are, which is why we can have these conversations, but more women actually do need to do it, because everything in society seems very much geared towards you need a man in order to be whole. You need proximity to a man in order to be whole. When we hear of people being abused, we'll often see men write, that could have been your sister, that could have been your mother, that could have been your wife. Why must you have proximity to her for her humanity to matter? She's just a human. She's a human like anybody else, and therefore did not deserve that violence. Why is it the proximal privilege that is lorded over us? And so even when I think about Christianity specifically, this idea that in order to, especially if I speak specifically, around black churches or predominantly black churches, this idea that in order to get to God, one must have access to a man. And so even when we think about the translations of the Bible talking about Eve born of Adam's rib, when it just meant of his side, but still, even thinking about that biologically doesn't make sense. But these are the ways that it has been kind of posited to us that you need a man in order to find your way to God. A good man leads you to God, as if you don't have that, we do not have the direct connection to God ourselves. And I've wondered about it for a while. I haven't particularly trusted people like Deepak Chopra. I haven't particularly trusted the Dalai Lamas that we've seen. Especially there was one time where one of the Dalai Lama was saying to asking a little boy to suck his tongue, and that video went viral, and everybody was saying, oh, but you just don't understand the culture. It's just affection. The boy looked visibly uncomfortable being asked to do such a thing. And so I think everything should be up for questioning. John of God, who Oprah would often have on her show, lauded as this man who could heal and he could do all of these miracles. He's now in jail for abusing over 600 women.
Oh,
600.
shocking. Yeah.
So we do have to think about that. Like, it happens because we're told that maleness overrides everything else, and maleness is power. And the closer that you get to power, you must trust it. Even when, when we think about the theological narratives that we're fed, we must servant a God that we do not question. You do not question God's ways, this male God. We do not question God's ways. So if we can't question a male God, then that means that we can't question men. And that is the link. So in order for us as women, in the, you know, to kind of round it up, in order for us as women to really move towards an egalitarian and equitable society, we must decenter men. That doesn't mean we go out in the street and start slapping men. It just means that everywhere in our lives where we have said, I need a man for this, a man is the one that does this, all of these things, that I do not have value if a man hasn't told me that I have value. Once we start decentering men, once we start decentering these narratives, then we can reclaim our power, because we keep giving it away. We can reclaim the power and actually do the work that needs to be done in order to move ahead together, collectively, through this earthly experience.
Brilliant. So many power points there, so much to reflect on. And women instinctively, though, they know the importance of inner work before preaching it. And I know in my life, I'm in my sixth decade now, it's taken me this long to actually have a platform like this and to have the actual self-belief to do it. But you see many, many men escalated to that position of power much, much, much earlier. This could be a whole episode, Kelechi, but I've got to go on to other topics, and I know we've got to go to the ad break shortly. But before that, I talked about dreams at the start of this show. It's the healing power of dreams, because they expose what we repress. And recent global revelations have exposed uncomfortable truths, not just in spirituality, but in almost every walk of life. Do you feel we are in a cultural reckoning moment right now, Kelechi? And what do you think happens next?
Absolutely. I'm very excited. We are headed for a truly chaotic time. We need it, right? Because in so many different realms or different countries, we are having this reckoning of identity. With Britain, we're having a reckoning as it pertains to the monarchy. And are we subjects? Are we citizens? And there's that work that needs to be undone of the reason that we don't have these things is because of immigrants, instead of thinking, well, no, the reason that we don't have these things is because it's been hoarded. The wealth and the resources have been hoarded by these group, and you know, this group of people. And I really enjoy astrology, and I read the works of André Barbeault, who had kind of seen ahead what would happen around 2019, 2020, when we're dealing with the lockdowns. But I'm very interested in what André Barbeault was looking at regarding 2026. And he said, this is going to be ideally the best manifestation of humans that we've ever seen. And I actually think what that means is a collective uprising, because we are all, we can't deny it. We have been shown unequivocally that look at what's going on behind the scenes. Look at how people are hoarding power, hoarding resources, and they're doing the most violent, abhorrent things to the most vulnerable. What are we going to do about that? And it's this fear that people are finding that, oh, can I speak out against authority? But I want to be a good person. And we're going to have to break up with goodness, what we think goodness is, and we're going to have to kind of come together to figure out how we override all of this. But we are facing a reckoning, but it'll be beautiful.
Beautiful. And you're right, you know, sensitive spiritual souls who are drawn to inner work and healing their heart, they are the ones who will have a sense of how to change the world right now. But they need to get to stand up and start walking their talk, meditate less maybe, and do more. So much to share. We do have to cut to an ad break just now, but remember this, everyone listening, dreams don't lie. They cut through denial and show us exactly what's going on beneath the surface, both personally and collectively. As truths surface on the world stage today, your own inner truth may be surfacing too. Listen to what it has to say. So as we head off to the ad break, ask yourself, what have my dreams by night and my intuition by day been trying to show me? And am I ready to listen now? Stay with us.
UK House Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Imagine. Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise, elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job. She was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy. But every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movements and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to the Healing Power of Your Dreams on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. I'm Teresa Chung, and we're talking about truth, exposure, and accountability in our dreams and in the wider world with our mighty guest, Kelechi Okafor. And now I'm bringing in our recurring American dream, Kelly Sullivan Walden, best-selling author of Dreamifesting, and the audio version, everyone, of this piece of night magic is out today. And Kelly, I know you've got deep questions for Kelechi because your questions are always deep. Kelly, over to you.
If I can try to not be a babbling idiot because I'm such a fan and I'm going to try to refrain and act cool, but on the inside, I'm going nuts.
You don't do cool. Just be you.
I don't do cool. I try, but it never works. Kelechi, I am such a fan, and I just finished reading Awakened, and I kept thinking, I'm so glad it's awakened, not awakening. It's like a finished state. It's so inspiring, and I don't want to spoiler alert too much to people, but I think there's a roadmap in this book for what we need to look at, how we need to be, and how we need to speak truth to power. Admittedly, I've been too nice. I like to be nice, and you inspire me because you're nice, you're beautiful, you're baby girl, you're precious, you're sweet, but you also don't hold back. So what I'm curious about is if you could have your dream come true, your waking dream come true, what would justice look like for the people who have abused their power, the royal family, the Trump administration, the people that think that they can hurt babies, black babies, to get more power? What's the North Star? What do we want? What's your dream?
Thank you, Kelly, because that's such a beautiful question, because immediately what comes up is the violence, is the rage. We must pay it back. You know, they have to, this justice is a rageful one. You know, this needs to happen, that needs to happen. And then there was a quieter voice that just kind of comes in and it's just saying almost, it's a redistribution of that wealth, of that power. It's having, community groups, it's having, facilities ready in place that can help people with their healing. As somebody who experienced sexual trauma as a child, that has been the driving force for a lot of the things that I've been doing throughout the years. And I've had to, you know, we talk about life being this forest that we're in. I've had to kind of stumble through this forest to find myself here now. And there are so many points where you just want to turn back. It's so scary. You don't know where you're going and you're carrying all this pain with you. My dream would be that all of the people who have experienced this, not just from, you know, these the elites, as we call them, that have all of this power, but from family members, from coaches, from people that they are, that are in their local community, that we are able to educate people enough and get them invested enough in protecting children, in protecting the most vulnerable in our society, or our societies, in our communities, and really thinking about that. Because sometimes we talk about children and young people as if they have no rights, as if they can be dictated to. And this is also what led to a lot of this as well, thinking that, you know, children shouldn't be this protected class. But ultimately, when I think about justice, I have to think in the sense of it's not just about the violent aspects of the justice that they deserve, this, that, and the next. It's really thinking about the justice doesn't center them, because again, they keep the power, they keep our energy when we send all of our energy going towards centering them again, rather than calling our energy back in and putting it towards protecting and stabilizing our community. When we think about the mycelium network, we're sending out the energy that we have, the goodness that we have, into the ones who are feeling weaker at this time because they've been subjected to that harm.
Ooh, I love the mycelium network, that we're all connected, just like the roots and the trees and all of that. And you know, I keep going back and forth between the spiritual perspective and the human, and the it's done unto God as, what is it, done unto mammon as whatever. Like, there's two different, entirely different worlds. And there's some part of me that thinks, well, justice happens ultimately universally. So even if we don't see it in real time, which can seem so infuriating, and that rage, that infuriating rage, can sometimes turn into cancer. It can turn into, like, it hurts us to carry that around. So how do you walk that fine line between allowing your anger and your ability to speak out, allowing it to be present without it hurting you? How do you do that? Because I need to know. And for myself,
when I think about it, I think about anger as love that has been hurt, right? You can only be angry about something that you care about, right? And so making it so we are not scared of our anger. Anger is a signal. It's a surface. It's a superficial emotion. It's a signal that something else is happening. We talk about dreams. Mm-hmm. Dreams are signals. They're showing us, hey, this is what you've got going on behind the scenes, FYI. And anger is also showing us, this is what you have going on behind the scenes. And so I've always, you know, started to think about that. Anger is love that has been hurt. So what do I love? What has been hurt? How do I remedy this? And there are some things, unfortunately, that in the moment one cannot remedy, but it's how do I accept that this is what it is and find another way to move around it so it's not hurting me. We see that women are overrepresented, as you mentioned, when it comes to autoimmune diseases because of this repression of anger. When we become more granular, we see that Black women are overrepresented when it comes to autoimmune diseases, again, because when you've got this stereotype being held over you, angry Black woman, there are many Black women who are trying to move away from that, saying, this doesn't bother me, I'm so good, I'm so nice. There has to be a point where we say, I am angry, I am furious, because that is the most logical, sane reaction to the level of injustice that I have experienced or I see the world experiencing. Anger is another friend. It wants to visit. It wants to tell its story. Make a space for it in your home to tell you what it's come to tell you so it can move right on. And maybe sometimes it doesn't move on. It might stay in a room upstairs. It might hang around, but that's okay. We have to make friends with anger. And for me, it's helped me to open my dance studio. It helped me to get money together and pay for children to have their hair done before they go back to school in the summer because I'm angry that the government isn't doing it.
Oh, so using the anger for something constructive, not just toiling in it and thinking that it's doing something. I think about the armchair quarterbacks or the people that are sitting in their chair just yelling at the television screen. That's not helping, but doing something. And I love you. You started a children's home,
Yes.
and then you're writing books and doing your podcast and speaking out. I only have a few minutes with you, but I want to imagine, because we are dreamers and we can dream a world. And I know Jesse Jackson just passed away yesterday, and I know perhaps the spirit of him we can call in. But if Prince Andrew was sitting right here on this show and he was going to listen to you, what would you say to him?
I would say to him, he should take himself to the furthest part of the earth and stay there. Stay away from everybody, to be honest, because I don't, it might sound controversial. I don't think there's any changing somebody like that for what, how far or how long they've been doing what they're doing, and to not accept it as well, to still try to kind of circumvent accountability. He's beyond it. And there are some people, again, that we have to accept in this life. They are beyond anything that we could do to try to bring them back into community. And that level of power that he's been afforded for so long, there isn't much. And in with regards to the royal family, I think there will come a point where people won't feel that they should stay away from the palaces. They will demand that they come outside. They are just any other human that should be held accountable for the harm that they have also caused.
Hope it's okay to
Oh,
jump in here, Kelly, but
of
do you see a
course.
time when we will hold the royal family accountable and this, never complain, never explain narrative? We will just, it's enough because of the privilege that they've had and that we've given them.
Yeah, I think we've got Pluto in Aquarius now for the next 20 years. I truly believe that in the next 20 years, we will see so much power stripped away from them, because when we think about Pluto, death and rebirth and power as a thing, and Aquarius, large groups of people, the community, the collective, our dreams, because Aquarius represents our dreams as well, and our hopes, wishes, and dreams. Over the next 20 years, we'll have to do away with what we thought was going to happen and really do with what we can actually imagine, reimagine into the world. We're already seeing the beginning of it. We are definitely going to see the fall of the monarchy in the next 20 years.
Yeah, it's going to feel uncomfortable because we kind of want to believe in something, don't we? We want to, we've put our trust in them, but it's a bit like that wonderful dream movie, The Wizard of Oz. The curtain is really coming back on so many people in authority right now. And Kelechi, you being a voice of honesty and truth right now, the world needs to hear more from you, much,
Thank you.
much more.
Thank you. But I think also it's ourselves, because we say we want to believe in something. The thing that we are most scared of believing in is ourselves.
It's
And
ourselves.
when we're talking about dreams, I was saying it in my members area the other day, that I have a recurring dream whenever I'm stressed or worried that I try to call 999 and I can never actually make the call. It doesn't happen. I try to press the numbers, it doesn't happen. And I said yes, because as I was breaking it down to my community, I said ultimately because I'm yearning for somebody. The little girl in me is yearning for somebody to come and save me. I want to call an authority. I want to give somebody else the authority to come and save me in this danger, only for me to have to make peace with. There's nobody that's coming. We've just got each other, and we've got to figure it out.
Yeah, and
That's
taking care of ourselves actually helps others take care, inspires others to do the same. Oh, Kelechi, thank you from my heart and soul. Your clarity and
Thank you.
speaking truth to power has been incredibly inspiring. And I can't wait for you to return and be a recurring dream on this show with maybe a regular Kelechi report. I can't wait.
Oh, that would be
Thank
amazing.
you.
I co-sign on that dream. Yeah,
Thank
I'm joining you there.
We need that truth. And Kelly, as always, thank you for helping us dream bigger and turn insight into transformation. Going to take another short break now, but when we will return, we'll widen the lens even further, because joining us will be journalist and TV producer Margarita Mitchell Pollock, and she'll be exploring the Chinese New Year of the Fire Horse, what this dynamic, fiery energy symbolizes and the changes it may ignite both personally and globally. And she'll be exploring it with Hong Kong-based Healing Kingdom Chinese astrologer for Fox News and BBC. Actually, he was on the BBC yesterday celebrating the Year of the Fire Horse with them, Lateo Wang. So hold that dream, everyone, and see you on the other side.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, thank you so much, Teresa. What a conversation. Wow. And the perfect time to have a conversation like that because we have the Year of the Fire Horse. Obviously, 17th of February, yesterday, that's when the Fire Horse began. And it's a transformative year because it also coincides with the Chinese New Year. Okay, I believe something like this only happens every 60 years, I think we've had the Fire Horse. All right, so I'm going to pass you over now to an expert who can tell you a lot more about this than me, Lateo Wang. He is and I'm going to let him explain, is it an intuitive, an astrologer, award-winning tarot deck owner, reader? And he's appeared across BBC News, Fox News, and I am honoured to have him on the show today. Thank you, Lateo, for joining us all the way from Hong Kong.
Oh, absolutely. It's amazing to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
So we've been dying to speak to you today because I have been chomping at the bit for this Fire Horse to begin. I really have. I've had friends that have had some of the worst years of their life in the year of May 2025. Mm. You know, I've seen friends that have had divorces after years of marriage. I've had breakup of friendships that I never thought I'd see. I've seen people lose jobs, redundancies, things that have fell away that they thought were on stable ground. The Year of the Snake just dismantled. And like all across social media on Instagram, you can see people, they are desperate for the year of momentum, moving forward, and just, I think, building on something that perhaps they've been building for years. I know that this year is the year that if you have had a dream, this is the year it could happen. Is that right?
Yeah, so it's very interesting that you mentioned a lot of people during the past 12 months, you know, have gone through a lot of difficulties and, you know, letting go of their previous chapter. And that was very much about the symbolism of the snake. Mm-hmm. Because snake year 2025 was very much about, you know, shedding the old skin, shedding the old patterns, and achieving a sense of completion with each one of us. But when we are moving into this new year, 2026, we're going to experience this very, very interesting energy shift from the yin to the yang, from something that is rather stagnant towards something that is more dynamic, that is more kinetic. And so if I can use an analogy, let's say if the snake here is Let's say the snake is contemplating, okay, the path and what path or which path to take so that we can move forward. And the year of the fire horse is actually the chariot or the vehicle that we are driving on the path that we have decided to take. And so it's definitely going to be a major energy shift when we move into this new year.
Thank you. And what does it mean in terms of the Chinese New Year as well? Is that just complementing the energy? That's a powerful combination, isn't it? We're in a real kind of astrological like sweet spot right now.
So this is a very interesting concept because you know, even a lot of Chinese people or people who study, you know, at the very beginning, a beginner's level of Chinese astrology don't even know about this. So each year, of course, we have the so-called Lunar New Year, the Chinese New Year, and that falls on different dates. This year, it's going to be February the 17th. However,
yesterday.
Correct. Correct.
This is why we're having you on today. I love this. Okay, please continue.
So, however, the shifting, right, the day that we change the so-called zodiac sign actually happens on the first day of spring based on the ancient Chinese solar calendar. And usually that falls on February the 4th or the 3rd. Okay. So right now, of course, we have already entered the year of the fire horse, but that started pretty much, you know, like 2 weeks ago already. Now, what is special, you know, back to what you were mentioning, what is really special about this year is that this Chinese New Year day actually is a solar eclipse. Now, this is very rare. And this is when we see the powerful energy between the Western astrology and the Eastern astrology when they come together. Because Chinese New Year is already a symbol of, you know, new beginnings and, you know, shedding the old, you know, old patterns. But the solar eclipse almost like is like a Chinese New Year on steroid, if you know what I mean, right? It empowers this New Year energy like 100 times. And I remember I talked about this solar eclipse with you know, several other fellow astrologers from the US, from UK, and we're going to see a lot of interesting things happening this year, specifically in terms of our leadership.
Wow. Okay. Can you tell me a little bit more about that? Are you talking about American leadership there, perhaps, or just in the world?
Oh, globally. Globally. Yeah. Okay. So one of the reasons is because, first of all, when we look at this from the Eastern perspective, the year of the fire horse, it's, again, symbolism. It's a little bit like we're driving a horse or something that we're more familiar with. We're driving a car. But this car is very, very powerful. It's a little bit like a sports car filled with gasoline. So now, because this is a fire horse, right, compared to other horse years, this year is very, very intense in terms of the fire element. And so when we are driving forward, we are the driver. There could be, you know, people sitting at the back of the car waiting for us and watching us. So this year has a lot to do with how we want to just, you know, handle our wheel. And how we want to move forward. At the end of the day, I mean, we want to move forward with a lot of momentum and speed and take those decisive action to manifest what we want. But at the same time, we have to focus. We can't drive the car without focusing on the road, you know, while playing with our phone and eating, you know, snacks. We can't do that. And so this has a lot to do with how we want to take our leadership and move forward. And what is interesting about this is in Western astrology, this year, we are also seeing a very interesting conjunction between Neptune and Saturn in Aries. And Aries in astrology, Western astrology, also rules leadership. So we're seeing this very interesting synchronicity between the East and the West. And we're going to see a lot of changes and also a lot of transformation happening in our leadership. Now, one last thing that I want to mention about this is that when we talk about leadership, of course, this includes our country's leader, right? Our president, our prime ministers, right? Our politicians, but also at a very individual level, we're all common folks. We are our own leader. We decide how we want to live our life. Maybe someone is a leader of the family, right? Maybe you're the breadwinner of your own family, then you are the leader. Maybe you are the leader of your team, right, in your company, and you're leading maybe five people who work under you. Leadership is everywhere, it's ubiquitous. And so I think it's very, very important for us to be aware of what kind of leadership that we are actually taking as well. during the year of the fire horse.
Absolutely valid, isn't it? I've seen a few things and I've noticed that people are taking the energy of the horse, quite rightly so, but there's an element that I've saw somebody mention about the work that is still going to be involved. It's not going to be handed to you on a plate if you don't get up and do
Absolutely,
the
yeah.
work. You see, this is the thing. I think that's important for people to know because I think it's hard, isn't it, in that transition time. If you've got any advice for people that are they're still feeling stuck in that snake and the new year for them is just beginning. How do they take those first steps out the door to write that book, get that job, have that new relationship? Is there a way that they can start embodying this energy slowly and really put the work in, so to speak?
Absolutely, I think you really hit the spot here. Here's the thing. The interesting thing about the zodiac sequence is that snake comes first, then it's the horse, not the other way around. So when we move into the year of the fire horse, a lot of us tend to misunderstand this energy. We tend to think, oh, finally, the snake year has passed. Now, everything, I'm just going to gallop, right? I'm going to move forward, right? Everything is just going to happen. Well, it will happen. Well, it's a little bit like saying the universe will give you the opportunity. But at the end of the day, horse can only come after the snake. So what does that mean? It means that you have to complete the so-called or master the lessons from the year of the snake. And so you will be able to drive the horse forward. And remember what I said earlier about the year of the wood snake. It's about shedding the old skins. Are we still hanging on to the old entanglement? Are we still repeating those past lessons again and again and again? And somehow just hoping that the year of the fire horse will just make it all miraculous for us. Horse will drive us forward, but actually we have to untangle all the things that didn't work out for us, and so that you can really move forward and more consistently and without much baggage. I think one of the things I would highly recommend that we all do, specifically if we feel like there are still certain things unfinished. At the end of the day, astrology is about symbolism. So I think what we need to do is to burn something, okay? Meaning that whatever that did not work out for us, we have to burn them into ashes. And the fire that you burn is a symbol of that fire horse.
Yes, I love that. Yeah, but in my family are Irish and we're big fans of a fire, to be honest
Yeah.
with you. So I've always got a fire and I've always got something written on some paper somewhere that I'm burning, whether it's from the past or everyone
It
who's
really
dying
helps,
off.
actually. It
It
does.
does. It's cathartic, isn't it? I think that's great advice because people will think, right, you said, right, my horse is arriving and any minute now, and they don't put the work in. And the burning ritual, just the act of putting something on paper, I need to let this go before the new comes in, that can be very powerful. So I think if you're listening to this show right now and you're not really sure how to jump into the Chinese New Year, that take this advice and the burning ritual and smoke itself, isn't it? Smoke is cleansing and healing, whether it's sage or frankincense, something like that, just to clear away. It's very,
Absolutely.
yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Even in Chinese culture, on Chinese New Year Day, we go to Buddhist temples. In Hong Kong, we have a very famous temple called the Wang Tai Sin. And this is the place where people go to make prayers. They will go there to receive blessings and make their wishes for the new year. And one of the most important thing is to burn incense there. And in the temple, there's actually the temple's monks, they will put a very big it's like a cauldron there, right? And so there's a lot of smoke coming out, and people will literally actually go there to get the smoke on their body.
Wash the chakras, yeah. Cleanse
Correct.
everything.
We do
Absolutely.
that here too.
It's absolutely a ritual that I do. I do it actually as often as I can. I even do it. I'll kind of cleanse in every corner of my house, open the windows, and that's a fantastic ritual just to get grounded in what this new year can mean. Thank you so much, Littow. And I know you've got a treat for the listeners of UK Health Radio when you've had a look at what the Chinese New Year, the zodiac, has in store for the different people listening. So thank you for taking the time to do that. So please listen in, and you can find out from Littow's website and what your Chinese zodiac is. I'm the year of the dog, for example. Thank you very much. Okay, over to you.
Oh, okay, great. So there are several zodiac signs I think that we can mention. They are really, really fortunate this year. I'll just quickly mention them. If you're born in the year of ox, if you're born in the year of dog, and if you're also born in the year of horse, which means it's your own year, this year you will be blessed with a lot of career opportunities, professional advancement, career, right? A lot of it could even be about public speaking, or again, you have the opportunity to take the leadership in your career, right, to manifest something. And when it comes to love and interpersonal relationships, rabbit and roosters are very blessed this year.
Okay, fabulous. What are your what is your zodiac sign, Latao?
I'm a, I was born in the year of rat.
Oh, rat. What does the year have in store for you?
Well, for rat year, for rat people, actually, this year we have to be very, very patient because on the astrological wheel, rat and the horse are clashing each other. On the wheel they are opposing each other on the wheel. So for people born in my year or any other rat years this year, patience and also adjustments are definitely needed. So just try not to be too stubborn about how things used to be. It must be the same. I'm not gonna change. I'm not gonna accept new things. I'm just the way I am. That would be the worst thing to do. So rather be adaptable, right, and be open-minded towards other people's words and other people's wisdom, especially if it's coming from someone who is older than you.
We haven't got much time, Miss Hal, but I really would love you to come back on the show. In fact, I think we need a whole hour with you giving us some of this amazing wisdom. So please do come back on. And I'm going to try and schedule you in for soon, actually, because we need to know more about this fire horse and this Chinese New Year. And before I let you go, I'm so fascinated. For those that obviously can't see that are listening in and can't see online, Latao has the most amazing backdrop. I feel like I'm looking into your house, Latao, and it's like an apothecary of plants and charms and wisdom there. And I'm just wondering how you got started on this line that you're on. Was this a family history there of astrology and intuition, or was this something that was called to you when you became older?
Actually, I had to hide what I do from my parents for many, many years. Because my parents were very, very traditional, had the so-called, Chinese parents.
My family.
And so that's the path that I've chosen to study spirituality and I Ching and astrology is just way beyond, their understanding, actually. And for many, many years, I had to hide it from them because I didn't want to disappoint them.
That must have been very hard. That must have been so difficult because you're hiding an aspect of who you are, aren't you? To please the parents, the people that you love and
Correct.
serve.
I mean, in a way, I also wanted to protect them because, in a way, in our culture, we care a lot about what other people think.
Yeah,
You know, the
well,
so-called saving
most of us,
face.
we all do. We all do, don't we? We
Yeah,
all
we
do.
all
This
do,
is
yeah.
the thing of being human.
Yeah. And so, I didn't really want to put my parents in the position where they had to lie to, our relatives or their friends because they ask, oh, what's Latao doing? How's Latao doing? And I didn't really want to put my parents in the position, where they had to lie because they felt it was embarrassing to say, oh, my son, reads fortune for other people, because in my generation, I mean, we know what our parents expected. Either you become a lawyer or you become a doctor or you are an investment banker working for, I don't know, like JP Morgan, something like you're a VP at JP Morgan. Then your parents think you are the glory, right? You bring glory to the family. Anything other than that, not so much. So so it was a difficult path, actually. But now the good thing is they have completely accepted what I
Fantastic.
do and who I am. And so yeah, then we have great relationship.
That and are they going to listen to this interview? I hope
No,
not.
I hope so, but their
Yes.
English is not very good. I tried
Okay.
to I tried
You
to
can
put
translate.
subtitle there. Absolutely.
I bet they've seen you on BBC and Fox News and things
Yeah,
like that. What do they
yeah,
think when they
yeah.
see you on these amazing channels, like lighting up the world with your work?
It's funny, right? Chinese parents, especially Chinese fathers, right? I don't know if you have other friends with Chinese descent. Chinese fathers will never say, "Son, I'm proud of you." The best thing they will do is they will look at it and they will nod. That's it.
That's
And you
an
know,
acknowledgement that you've done well.
correct.
Wow.
And you know, okay, I got it.
You've
Okay,
got the vision.
that's good enough for me.
Ah, you've got the knowledge.
That's just our culture.
Yeah, I understand. I completely. My father was Northern Irish, but he wasn't one to kind of express openly emotions. So you knew certain aspects of what he'd say something to you, and you'd know that he was okay. You've done well. You've done good here. Yeah, I
Thank
completely
you.
relate. I can relate. Well done. Well, I think your work is amazing. I think are you writing a book at the moment? What's next for you? Have you got another deck coming out? Because I think there's I want to see some books from you, Letao. I feel like there's a lot of wisdom that you need to share with the world.
Right. So I have two Oracle decks already published. I think we talked about those two decks with Teresa last time when I was on the show. It was Oracle of the Mythic Heroes.
And
This
they're
was published.
award-winning, aren't they? Award-winning.
Correct, yeah.
Yes.
And this one was Oracle of the Celestial Deities, both published in 2024. And this one won the Akata Award in UK.
Yes, and I say award-winning, and I don't say that lightly because it's so easy just to throw off the tongue award-winning. There are thousands and thousands of decks out there that people have just like churning out. So for something like this to stand out, it means something. So well done. And it also means your imagination, your spirit, and your soul have gone into those cards. So
I loved mythology, I loved storytelling. So I really think that this deck, I really put everything that I had at that time
yeah, I can
into
feel
this
that.
deck. And
And
there's
I want
another one coming out here this year in May.
Oh.
As the author, I've just received my first copy.
I say legends, villains. Oh, is that legends, heroes, and villains? How interesting. I don't believe anybody's done something like that before.
So this deck is based on historical figures. So for example, on the cover we have got those people, like this is Eva Perón, right, from Argentina. We have got this is Harriet Tubman, right, from the US, who saved African American slaves, helped
That's
them to
right.
escape, right, to Canada and to the North. And we have got villains as well. We got Charles Ponzi,
Charles
infamous for
Shadow.
the Ponzi scheme, right? So this is an Oracle deck that I developed using actual, historical figures, famous people, influential people. And this will officially be released on May the 5th, the 5th this year.
And where can people find your website, Letal?
So my website is www.thehealingkingdom.com.
And you can
And
also find on UK Health Radio's Instagram or my Instagram at Margarita Journalist and Teresa Chung and Kelly Sullivan Walden's Instagram, where we, after every show, we include snippets of behind the scenes as well as everybody's links. So thank you so much. I want you to write that book though, Letal. I want I think, are you
yes, I
writing?
am. Yeah.
Yeah,
So, well, actually, a contract already signed. So, I'm just waiting for the editing process to start. Supposedly, the next book, it's not an Oracle deck, but actually a proper book.
I think it's a book. Yes, that's I've
Yeah,
got
it's kind of.
tingles.
Oh, thank you.
I've got tingles. That's my confirmation from the universe. Yes, I'm feeling that strongly that this book needs to be done. And I also feel as though I need to tell you that this is the fire horse is your year also to jump on that horse with your published work.
No, thank
Yeah,
you.
as well
I
as your
should.
deck, but your writing as well.
It's gonna be a journey.
Yeah.
As someone born the year of rats, it's gonna be a bumpy road, but I'm ready. I'm ready.
You're ready for it. You're ready for it. Nobody's more ready than you, let me tell you. I can tell. Thank you
Thank
so
you.
much, Letao. It's been a pleasure. I'm going to pass this back over to the dream team. But Kelly and Teresa, please, this man back on for an entire hour of the show. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
Absolutely.
you. Margarita and Letao, thank you for those shining insights and bringing your unique perspective. And now we're going to turn to someone else who truly understands the energetic language of the year ahead. I'm thrilled to welcome Janine Lowe, a UK Health Radio host of Feng Shui Your Way and a renowned Chinese astrologer over here in the UK. And she's going to share her take on the Chinese New Year of the Fire Horse and what this powerful transformative energy could mean for us all. And I know, Kelly, I can tell you want to ask a question. Just go for it. I've got ones as well. I'm generous, so I'm giving it to you.
Oh, you're so generous. Oh my heavens. Okay, I'm not. So I'm greedy. Janine, I'm so happy to meet you. Thank you so much for joining us here. asking you. I want to know. So I know Letao was talking about the burning and moving, like moving energy. And from what the little tiny bit that I know about feng shui, it's mostly about like letting things go and getting things out of the way. What are some other tips and tricks we can do to maximize this very, very powerful time as we are now in the time of the fire horse?
Interestingly enough, Kelly, my next show that comes out next Monday, Feng Shui Your Way, gives you all the deets on how to Feng Shui
Oh,
your house for 2026.
oh.
But when he was talking about space clearing it, absolutely 100%. Space clear your
Mm.
house, let the energy out the doors, open the windows, get that sort of thing going. The energy is so dynamic in 2026. It's the energy of 1966, 1906, rapid shifts, powerful breakthroughs. I was listening to Galici talking about changes in power. I wrote for Hello in December, and basically, Prince Andrew, King Charles, Prince Harry are all rats, and so there's massive change from this year. So that's
Speaking
a really
metaphor there, right? From
the Chinese
the Chinese. Oh,
astrology.
yes, I know. I just said what the newspaper's
But
quoting.
actually, Janine,
Read between the lines.
am I wrong? The rats is the luckiest animal, isn't it, in Chinese?
No, unfortunately, it's on the Tai Sui, which means it's opposite the horse. So
Okay.
it has to stay quiet this year. It needs to be gentle. It needs to being unobserved. If you have a rat in your chart, because there's different animals, you should take things quietly this year.
But isn't it,
Oh.
wouldn't it win the race? You know, the myth of the Chinese zodiac, and there was a race of the animals that Buddha set up or something like that.
Yes,
Didn't
yes.
it win?
It's just this year. Well,
This
every
year.
it just horse years, rats have to be particularly quiet, which I think is quite a hard thing. So,
Oh,
Kelly.
Janine, there's never enough time on this show. Say this every week. You're going to have to come back too, because I'm going to just have to bring everything to a conclusion. And I want to thank everyone, Kaleshi, Janine, Lateo, and of course Margarita and Kelly, the recurring dreams. We are moving towards the energy of the year of the fire horse, so I encourage you all to tune into that liberated, authentic, honest spirit within yourself. The fire horse is bold, untethered, and dynamic. It does not shrink to fit, and neither should you. Remember, it burns down the stable and bolts. And to help you step into that energy, we're going to close with some music that was gifted to me a few years ago. And whenever I played it on my podcast, White Shawls, which is now resting to make space for UK Health Radio, I was inundated with requests from people to play it again and again because people said it reminded them of a wild horse running along a beach. So if you're listening and safe to do so, turn the volume right up now and gently close your eyes. In your mind's eyes, see yourself now as that dream fire horse, untethered, authentic, and free. Johan, take it away.